podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Coppi Podcast.
Welcome back to the Coppi Podcast. I'm Christian Anderson, and this show has no Mick Moran, but I have another guest with me. This is a special show where we won't talk about any games that's been played recently, but I will talk to a guy called Tom Kane, and we will go into talking about his play 97 Plus, which is based on the Hillsborough disaster and about survivors of Hillsborough. So first of all, welcome to the Coppi Podcast, Tom. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. Thank you very much for having me on.
No problem at all. It's obviously a nice subject in terms of doing a show and a play of, you know, what's happened back in 1989 and all the years after. But at the same time, it's an important subject to talk about. So we will go into how the process was, obviously, of writing the play and the research and how you do all that, in, because of what it's actually about. It's something that is obviously a subject that means a lot to people in a bad way, but also in a good way when people come together, when, you know, things like that happens. But first of all, I'm thinking an introduction of you. It's in its place. So I'm thinking, who are you, where you're from, and all that kind of stuff, if you would like.
Yeah, there is. My name's Tom Kane. I work as a theatre writer, director, producer, and I own my own theatre company, Tom Kane Theatre. Primarily been working with the show 97 Plus. So we started out at the Little Liverpool Theatre Festival of New Works in 2022. And we then received a 10 out of 10 perfect review. It was deemed as possibly the most powerful theatre show that they've ever seen from the right-based reviewers. And we then got moved to the main Liverpool Theatre Festival, which was like the main acts, I suppose, and that was in September. And we added on a matinee performance because the tickets sold really well. And then we went to Edgehill University, which is where I graduated. So I studied drama at Edgehill University. And I actually wrote 97 Plus as part of my dissertation piece in 2021. And obviously a year later then debuted it. But what I debuted was the shorter festival version, so only lasts like an hour and a half. And there's another version which is an hour. But we performed at Edgehill University as well, because originally I had cast my lecturer, so she taught me for 3 years, and then I then said, "Oh, do you want to get on board this?" And she was more than happy to play with the role of Liz. So we performed at Edgehill University, then we took it outside of Merseyside and went to the Buxton Fringe Festival. And that was in preparation for the world's largest theatre festival, and that was the Edinburgh Fringe in 2023. So then this year, we've now finally debuted in the full play, the one I originally wrote, which is a total of 7 characters. And that'll be a 2-act play with real set, and out to the Liverpool Olympia on Friday the 12th of April, so a month away now. So it's getting exciting, getting everything ready. The cast all set, obviously. A lot of the cast were originally cast in the previous shows we've done. Some of those scenes are duplicates, but some of them now have got an extended length because they have to talk about other characters that they meet as well on the way. And then there's some brand new scenes. So it's a lot of challenging for actors to do because they thought they'd learned all the lines and now we've given this script and they have to do more. But yeah, it's been great to work on. 97 Plus, I wrote it in collaboration with the Hills of Survivor Support Alliance, which is otherwise known as the HSA for short. It's a group set up by survivors who help anyone affected by Hillsborough. They rely on donations that we've been very lucky to raise through the performances. And they rely on donations to fund Hillsborough Transformational Recovery Model, which is a therapy that they've set up to help design to help people overcome their trauma. Because 97 Plus, I wrote it to educate audiences on the truth of Hillsborough and also raising awareness for survivors still suffering from their trauma, and to help end victim chanting in all football games. So that's, I suppose, a summary of 97 Plus. In terms of the actual play and what the plot. Yeah, it's set in 2012, so around the time for Operation Resolve, which was when Theresa May brought that forward and statements were all getting looked at. And when I researched, when I worked with the HSA, because they provided, I think I did about 12 interviews originally, they provided a lot of material, so a lot of the play is verbatim. But as part of my dissertation, I couldn't actually quote exactly what people say in one character, so I kind of had to mix them up in all these different characters, so it meant that when they're watching it, it's not going to be, you know, they don't see themselves in just one character, they see themselves in multiple, and there's no one can be identifiable then in that sense. But yeah, when writing that as well, and that was obviously to help end victim chanting and along raising awareness for the cause.
Yeah, it sounds very interesting, to be honest. Like, obviously, listeners to this show knows that I'm from Sweden, but I'm a Liverpool supporter, obviously. And Hillsborough is, you know, part of, you know, first and foremost, the people who had to suffer through it and all their relatives to them, and, you know, obviously everyone affected by it. But, you know, for people like me or supporters like me from overseas, you know, you read up on all this stuff, you learn all the things, and you follow most of it, and it's part of you, even though you're not from Liverpool or, you know, you was affected by it personally. But it still does affect me, to the sense when you know, where the yearly anniversary, where, you know, when there's anything that comes with it, really, you know, you get emotional, and you can never understand the people who actually went through it, but you can kind of, you know, get a feeling of how horrible it must have been in all the years that's gone past since, and everything that was covered up and everything that since been coming, you know, all the years that you just been waiting for the truth and everything. So this kind of play, you know, I would like to know, you know, where does the first kind of idea come from? Where when do you start thinking about, I know that you said, you know, when it's set around 2012 and everything that happened then, but when does it come into your mind that, you know, this is something that I want to do, but, you know, also that, you know, will people share their stories? Will they be willing to, you know, open up about it? And obviously that's important too, but you know what I mean when it's kind of, but when does it come into mind for you to write this kind of play for theatre?
Yeah, I'm from Southport, my whole family like from Liverpool. But yeah, it was drilled into me like from a young age about Hillsborough and what happened, because we're all Liverpool fans. And also my granddad was a Hillsborough survivor. So he's passed away now. He passed away in 2014 from cancer. But I always remember that he was like always your typical granddad, really strong man, and wouldn't talk about his feelings or anything like that. But yeah, when it was, he used to actually say to me, you can't cry unless there's blood. I remember that was always his little catchphrase. But when it was Hillsborough, he would kind of like lock himself in the room and not really talk to anyone. And you were kind of told just to leave your granddad, you know, to it. So I guess for me, I was thinking like, why has this affected, you know, someone you look up to so much, as such a strong man. So yeah, I learned about it from an early age, I suppose, about it. And then every single year you'd learn a bit more. Obviously you learned about it a little bit in school as well. But yeah, then I wrote a play about Hillsborough for me, GCSE drama in high school. And then I wrote another one in college. I did a professional performance program at Runshaw College. I did actor training there. But then when I wanted to look at directing and writing more, that's why I chose Edge Hill. And my plan was always to write a play about Hillsborough and then direct it and get assessed on that as my dissertation. But because it was 2021 when it was COVID, they said to me that you're going to have to either like film the piece to get assessed that way or just write a full-length play and get assessed in your writing. So that's why I chose to do that instead. In terms of the HSA, I just discovered them on Facebook. I just typed in Hills Disaster, and then it came up with Survivors page. And you had to actually join the group, you had to like submit form, and basically, obviously, because when I spoke to the admin of the group, they've kind of said the reason they do that is because they've actually had a few trolls. They've had a few people come in and like say that they're survivors when they're not, or some people who don't, you know. For me, I did a big post to say this is why I'm doing it, and I want to write about this, I want volunteers for an interview. But some people kind of just pretend that apparently they've pretended they're survivors just to get like stories and then wrote articles about them.
Which is horrible for someone to do, you know, which
what they've all been through from the media. So that's why they were so strict, I suppose, with everything. But I had the first interview, and then he then said to me, oh, you know, I'll tell everyone that you sound, and you know, people might come forward then. So I think that really encouraged everyone to then come speak to me. But yeah, in terms of setting the play in 2012, I didn't really know what I wanted to write about. I think I definitely wanted to raise awareness for the survivors still suffering and, you know, the whole aspect of male mental health. But yeah, I kind of wrote that in that sense because when listening to the interviews, I kind of wrote down the key quotes and the key stories. And then it just wrote itself. I just kind of, it's like a jigsaw puzzle. I thought I'd use what person A and B and C said to me and I'll try and merge it in these characters. And, you know, it was in a way, yeah, I'd set out my plot points and then just, yeah, created it together. And then the actual debut of the performance, I was really scared as to how it would go down just because obviously no one had read the script other than, you know, family members and close friends. But yeah, a lot of the HSA came to watch and they just said that, yeah, it was spot on and it was hard to watch. But at the same time, really happy that it's like being made because obviously, yeah, it's hoping to educate people. And we've even done a schools edition. So we, in at Edge Hill, we did a public performance and then we changed it to a schools edition as well, which is to help Ian Byrne, MP, who's got the Real Truth Legacy Project. It's in support of that. And that's to try and get Hillsborough added onto the high school curriculum. Because, yes, although I learned about it in school, it was probably because I was in Southport, which obviously, you know, still Merseyside Northwest, and it wasn't even like a, I think because they're trying to add it to PHSE and they're trying to add like a Hillsborough anniversary day, Hillsborough day, where you get told everything and educate on it. Whereas it wasn't like that in school. It was just, I think it was just our teacher telling us what she knew about it. And, you know, sometimes I even get nervous like doing stuff like this because although I know the subject so well, like I know my research, it's such a broad subject, so many different things. Yeah. And even you hear different things, different stories and different things in the media that sometimes it's a bit nervous because, you know, it would be great to get it in schools because if you then clearly know the facts, clearly know what happened, the dates, because there is such a mishap with obviously how it's all been dealt with.
Yeah, and I agree, you know, like I said, you know, coming from another country, but knowing about Hillsborough, reading up on it, you know, and getting all the facts right, understanding the tragedy and everything that happened. And, you know, to have that in school in England, to actually educate young people about what actually happened and the aftermath as well, because we've seen so many horrible things going on, obviously, the victim chanting, you know, at football grounds and everything that's been going on since, you know, we still see it and, you know, it is horrible. And I think that's a good point, like you said, with a play like that, that can help to educate, even though it's hard to watch and it's probably raw like that, but to actually make people understand more what happened and what was happening after, and to understand, you know, what is moving forward. I would say, you know, everyone should know it's not okay to, you know, abuse anyone or say anything, you know, in the wrong way when it comes to Hillsborough, but, you know, people don't understand or they don't know, they're not educated enough. So I'm thinking when you talk to these people and interview them, people who was there, people who survived, how is it for you to take in their stories and emotions, because, you know, they were there to live through it and had to live with it until up and now with everything that, like I said, the aftermath of it. But for you to sit there and actually hear their stories, what is that like for you?
Yeah, it was really tough. And like I said, I was nervous because I wanted them to, you know, trust me and know that they can talk to me, but also obviously never feel pressured. So even my questions are very broad. And my friend's a counsellor, so I spoke to him before and they kind of said, like, how does he approach this? Because even though it's obviously an interview, because it's such a sensitive nature, I thought a counselling technique actually would work. And he was teaching me about this listening wheel that he uses and just obviously trying to, you know, like I say, broad questions instead of forcing anyone to say anything they didn't want to. But yeah, it was just shocking because obviously, so my granddad, he was in the away end for his ticket. So he watched it all from a distance. So because he felt like helpless, that's what like really affected him. And then there's different stories then, because there's some people obviously who were in Leppins Lane. There were some people who, you know, sold their ticket on to someone and have like lived with guilt because they know they could have been there. There's some people who just watched from above. So that, yeah, it was really hard to hear, to be fair. And yeah, obviously I had the support, I suppose, from like the uni and my housemates to kind of afterwards just need to relax then for the evening. Because, you know, I think in a way COVID helped because there was nothing else to do other than write the play. But most nights I weren't sleeping. I'd wake up either with an idea or wake up kind of thinking about it. And yeah, it was tough, but I'm just ever so grateful for the HSA, and they've always continued to support me. Like, I'm on their website and they share all of my stuff. So yeah, it's great for their help. It's interesting when you're saying about yourself, obviously from Sweden. When we did the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, I met someone afterwards, an audience member, and he was from China, and he like waited a bit around to meet us. I want to say waited behind because we had to move all our set and get everything out, and then obviously get out to the car and this and the other. It's a good like 20 minutes at this point. But he waited behind and spoke to me and said that he was a massive Liverpool fan. And when he was coming to the Fringe, he purposely chose the dates that we were obviously there so we could watch the show. And he explained to me what I just found bizarre, that he remembers from 89, he remembers what was in the papers like the next few days, as in what that paper wrote, which won't even name. And obviously all the stuff that they claimed Liverpool fans did and blamed the Liverpool fans. And then just obviously because it was 89, the way, you know, I suppose news nowadays, you get it instantly on Twitter and everything. But he said it was only like years later for when things start to come forward that actually him and his people in China and his town knew the truth, which I just found bizarre. The fact that must have, yeah, I think you said it was just before the Operation Resolve. So we're talking, you know, 20 years later that he's actually found out what happened. And the fact that, you know, he's heard this news and thought, like, he kept thinking, he's saying to me, he kept thinking that, you know, no, this can't be, it can't be Liverpool fans, but because that's what he saw and that's what is, you know, deemed as what he thought was the truth. And that's what's just, it's mad. I think that's why as well, there's obviously such a, you know, there's still, they use it as the victim chants and they use it as banter. You know, I've had even people who I know that have like, kind of said it to me, and I'm thinking, like, of all the work I do, you know exactly how, like, it would affect anyone that, you know, associated with it all. But the HSA are great with that. There's so many people on social media who, you know, kind of will do a tweet about it and then HSA will share it around and eventually, you know, they get prosecuted. But yeah, it doesn't just happen for Anfield as well. Doesn't just happen for Liverpool. You know, there's obviously the Munich air disaster. There's a song about Adebayor years ago, I remember, for his national team. The Bradford City fire disaster. So there's all sorts that people kind of use to rival opposition, but they don't realise the effect it actually really has on people.
Exactly. And I'm thinking, like you said, you know, you talked about this man from China, and I'm thinking, you know, for myself, from Sweden, obviously I'm born 1986, so I don't remember anything from, you know, that era when it happened. But obviously my dad, he's passed away as well, cancer, unfortunately. But, you know, he told me when I was younger about Hillsborough, because he can remember what was reported then. But then, to be honest, it probably took years and years here as well for us to understand that, you know, the full magnitude of what actually went going on and the truth when it came, because I was living in England in from 2009 until 2013, so I was actually there when everything, you know, came up to the surface and, you know, everything started all over again with the what's it called, the independent Hillsborough. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I obviously followed it loads because I was there then, and, you know, my friends from Liverpool, who, you know, some of them were at Hillsborough as well, who's a little bit older than me, obviously. So I just remember how, like you said, how much new information just came from nowhere, and you got so shocked, I guess is the word, because you could never understand that, you know, that kind of cover up and that kind of, you know, what someone in charge would do to, you know, make sure that it doesn't, that, you know, the truth doesn't come out. Mm-hmm. So I think, like you said, you know, it came up, but for people probably around the world, like your example there, it took years and years before people actually understood the whole, you know, the whole thing that actually happened, which is horrible in its own way as well. You know, that they kept it as, what do you call it, like a secret for so long, and didn't want to.
And then obviously with the statement changes, because in my play it's a quote, and I hope, well, obviously it's anonymous anyway, the HSA, but essentially the quote goes like that. They said in the statements he wrote, I had a few to drink, but not very drunk, as is in like a massive statement. That was one of the quotes, but they actually changed it ever so slightly by saying, I had a few to drink, but very drunk, which obviously twists the entire context. So that is in the play, from seeing it from there. So, you know, it's not exactly a spoiler, because obviously people know what happens now from the play. But yeah, it's just mad. I suppose, yeah, the news travels around and, you know, the fact that it's still going on. I think as well, because you've got, you know, opposition fans and people who don't understand it or sympathise it, because it has got brought up again, obviously 2012 and years later. And then the anniversary, you get, you know, some, they're not allowed to swear, but some not very nice people obviously saying, you know, oh, it's happening again and everything. And then that's kind of, you know, more backlash then.
Yeah, and then you connect it to what happened in Paris, you know, before the Champions League final, and you know, the people, oh, you know, say on Twitter, obviously, you know, social media is that place as well, unfortunately, but where they go, like, it's always Liverpool fans, you know, why is it always, you know, problems with them? And you know, I get upset when I read that, and I can see, you know, supporters from England all around the world, but also in Sweden, you know, when they use always the victims, and I try. You know, I'm someone who try to morally be that good that I would never use, you know, any Munich chant or any other disaster chant, because I think there's banter in football, but there's limits. Yeah. There's a certain limit where you don't cross over. And I try to, whenever I see that, I try to reply to that, you know, that person or them people who write that, you know what you're saying now, don't you? Like, you think you're funny, or you're trying to use that in a way that, you know, get your attention or clicks, or, you know, like you said, you know, it spreads the words like that, but you actually using it in a way which you don't understand, but it actually means something really, really bad. Yeah. And it affects people that was actually at this ground when it happened, or people that lost people at that disaster, and they don't really understand to, you know, what the words actually mean. That's the problem.
Yeah, and it's so easy for them to do, you know. You never know who's behind the keyboard. It could be like some 10-year-old kid who's just trying to have a laugh with his mates, but writing about it because there's not really any ID thing with any social media accounts. But yeah, when you're saying about Paris, like, yeah, I suppose, you know, I was born in 2000. So, you know, a lot of my friends who went to Paris, like, they've told me their stories then. And then some people who I know who have been to Hillsborough and Paris, like Ian Burr, for example, has talked about in MP, he's talked about his experience in Parliament. But yeah, obviously there's the connections with Heysel as well, but yep, they kind of always bring it back to Hillsborough because the you know, Heysel was obviously football hooliganism from, well, yeah, both sets of fans, but obviously the way the walls fell and everything that happened there. But they always kind of trying to target Hillsborough because obviously the connotation behind it and the journey it's gone through, I suppose, and all the mishaps that's happened in the media. It's as well with the Edinburgh Fringe. I remember. Yeah, it was an incredible experience, to be honest. Definitely urge anyone to, whether you're into theatre or not, to go to Edinburgh Fringe. It's a crazy festival, full of theatre and music and everything. But there was a fella who waited around and spoke to one of the actors who plays Colin Kilbride, who plays John, and he'd said to him that, because John's character suffers from PTSD and mental health and depression, but he kind of bottles it all up, whereas Steve is a polar opposite, and you know, as in, he gets help, he goes to hospital regularly with Nurse Nancy as the character. And like, Nancy is kind of Steve's support mechanism, whereas John has just got his wife Liz, but he kind of like takes it out on Liz instead, as like the two difference in characters. But yeah, this fella, he was an army veteran, and he said that he really kind of like took a lot from John's character and what he was saying and how he acted, and he suffers from night terrors regularly as in the character John. And this army veteran was saying that he really took something out of that, because obviously it ends on a ray of hope, you know, it always had to. Yeah, so that was an interesting scenario, because obviously it's not as if I've ever tried to do that, but someone else has took that away from the performance. And then they actually brought his other army vet mate the next night and they watched it again. And that was obviously them trying to kind of, I don't know, yeah, just get something from it, as you were saying. But yeah, we had met someone else as well who wrote a play called The 97. And this was, he said he did it at Edinburgh Fringe in 1991. So obviously at the time would have been, you know, only 96 level fans because of Andrew Devine passing away from his injuries the other year. So when he wrote The 97, the idea behind his play was that Hillsborough affected so many more people than just 96. And his story about him could have been the 97th. I mean, I know there's a lot of talk with, well, Stephen Whittle for years and years, who took his own life from suicide. He was known as the 97th from Liverpool fans. But obviously, there's so many more people like him, so many more that it's really sad that obviously that happens. And so much promise of male mental health and like wanting to talk and prevention of suicide. So that's what the player always tries to look at as well, and ends on a ray of hope, as I said. But yeah, meeting him as well, that he wrote that play. And then I asked him, because he said, if I walk out, it's not because it's bad, it's because it's too hard hitting. And yeah, I said, oh, you know, nice to meet you. What was your name? And he said, his name's Steve, which is the name of my other character. So I had to say to him, like, this might be really difficult for you to hear now. And yeah, unfortunately, he did watch all of it. He did watch it all, but he just said it was like hard hitting, especially because it's your own name, I suppose. But yeah, because 97 plus, the reason I called it 97 plus was because the plus is obviously symbolising that it affected so many more people than just the 97. And it continues to.
Yeah. Can you tell us again, how many characters did you say that is this story based?
One's seven characters in total. So you've got John and Liz, who I mentioned before. So Liz, John's wife, and Liz is actually from down south. The reason I did that is because my uni mates who I lived with, some of them are southerners. And I said, I'm going to play about Hillsborough. And they said, well, what's that? And to me, that's just like mind-boggling, because it was drilled into me at such a young age, like coming from obviously living around here. But yeah, her character is really supportive of John, but doesn't quite get it. And sometimes, you know, makes a mistake by saying something that she shouldn't have done. And there's a connotation that, you know, her family kind of read that paper still. And, you know, because it's not sold in Liverpool at all. And if you see it at all, it boils your blood. And even seeing it out and about, you know, I've seen it before and just put it to the back shelf and make sure, you know, there's all sorts of that for that paper. So yeah, you got John and Liz, then you got Steve, who's another one of the lead characters. So he was the one who is very open about his feelings. So John and Steve meet by his going into John's news agents, and it's just a chance meeting. They talk about a charity pot, which is for the HSA, which I obviously use because I've worked with them. And that's what triggers the conversations. And then it's a show male friendship that John and Steve become friends over talking about what happened. Steve is a lot more open about it, whereas John has never told anyone. And in a way, John's story is probably worse than Steve's. So that's why I kind of like done that pair. You've got Nancy, who is the nurse who looks after Steve. And then you've got three new characters. So it's Stuart, Sally, and Charlotte. So that's another new family. So that's never obviously the full play's never debuted until next month at the Liverpool Olympia. And so you've got, I'm trying to think how to describe these characters without obviously giving any plot away or anything like that. But yeah, new family. So it's it's hard without giving anything away at all. But essentially, it's a new family that is showing another light, and it's more obviously verbatim stories from the HSA. So more people's quotes that are used in these three characters when I was trying to piece them all together of who I kind of want to represent, I suppose, in that sense. And share more stories from people I've spoke to.
Yeah, and you said it will have its premiere on the 12th of April, right?
Yeah. So Friday the 12th of April at the Liverpool Olympia. So it's a massive theatre. It's an incredible theatre, huge space. So yeah, previously, the first performance we did, essentially we had a month to get everything ready because it was a little Liverpool Theatre Festival. And so when I got accepted for it, it was just a month, and then you had to get the props, get the set, get the cast, get the rehearsals, everything. It flew by, to be honest. So we actually used my garden furniture to represent the set, to move things about, to represent a bed and a couch and different things. Then the main festivals and the fringe, we bought, I got a friend of mine to make some stage blocks so we can obviously represent it. It looks more theatrical and it's a lot easier because you move around and slicker transitions. And then for the full play, because it's such a huge space and it's a full two-act play, you know, in a obviously professional space, that we're having real beds and real couches and real props and set to represent everything and put it all together. So yeah, I'm really excited. I'm so delighted as well to be working with Bill Elms Productions. Bill Elms, he was the one who first took a chance on my new writing at the Little Liverpool Theatre Festival. You know, the first year I'd submit my play everywhere to different theatres. And now being involved in the Liverpool Theatre scene myself, like I was a writer for the Liverpool Royal Court Theatre for a year on their programme. And you kind of then get to know the theatres and get to know the programmers. And it's not necessarily about the play. It's more like the category it fits in. You know, Royal Court is consistently comedies more so. So that's why I wouldn't really be suited for there. But yeah, Bill took a chance on it for the Liverpool Theatre Festival. And then obviously, you know, I feel like he's kind of guided me through the process and learned so much from him. So yeah, we're working together this time to present the full play. So yeah, it's great.
And you said as well, and I don't want obviously to give away too much, but you said obviously before that it was set around 2012 and what happened then. Is it like for the characters that, you know, it's been years since it happened, they've been living with this for quite a long time, but then in 2012, obviously the truth comes out with all the, you know, the adjusted, you know, with the quotes and everything and, you know, the documents. Is that like set through how they themselves live through, you know, when that happens and they get that information and what happens with them as persons as well? Because I can only, you know, try to imagine that, you know, you understand that, you know, what you said to people that you trust, you know, authority, and then they actually change what you said to suit their agenda or whatever. So is that how they're going through that period as well, like in their minds when they understand what actually been going on for so long?
Yeah. Essentially, I kind of chose to set it then because obviously the key points that the HSA interviews made, but it starts off to show that this is not just happening, you know, because the night terrors and the trauma that it shows in all the characters and the reflections that are made, just some simple little things that kind of reminded them of something or someone, that kind of shows at the start. And then, yeah, the key point, I suppose, is about the statements being changed and then what the consequences that had afterwards. And yeah, that's how I've set it out, really, just to kind of show that. Because as well, when I interviewed people as well, you know, they were telling me about, like, yeah, the night terrors, for example, that it's still happening now. So this is 2021, and it can come from anything. It can come from, you know, some of them don't go to the games anymore because they can't face it. I mean, I remember my granddad, he never went to a game after Hillsborough until 2005, Liverpool, Middlesbrough, with myself and my brother. And even then, I mean, obviously I was only 5 years old, so I don't know if I remember this from people talking to about it, but I remember it myself, you know, but he was certainly on edge a little bit more. So, you know, kind of wanted to know where his seat was and, you know, talking to us and enjoying the game. So it must have been such a big challenge. And the fact that he didn't, obviously, wouldn't tell me because I'm only 5 years old at the time, as to why he felt a bit agitated, I suppose, to go to the game. So, yeah, it looks upon that. It shows the fact that this is happening every day for these characters, you know. We actually had a couple as well. So there's so many stories from audience members I'm thinking of now. There was a couple who spoke to Colin again, to John, the one who plays John. And Colin said to me in the dressing room after the show, he was like, oh, I met that couple, you know, from the HSA. And I was like, who? And he said the names. And I was like, I don't know who that is. And he was like, what do you mean? I was like, I've not interviewed someone who's called that. And it turns out it was just someone from the audience who kind of was saying that this is our marriage and this is our life. And, you know, you've really done it just as the character and you really, you know, spread awareness and everything. But that really rocked him, the fact that he thought I just hadn't told him that the HSA, some members were in, but the fact that it affected people who I didn't need an interview. So some stuff that, you know, they obviously said, oh, that's our marriage, that's our life on stage, I never quoted them because I've never spoke to this person before. It's just mad to hear. It's overwhelming, you know. It's not just Colin and John. It's all the characters. A lot of people say, oh, that was me. Or some of them are saying, like, oh, I think that was my quote, you know, from what you said in your character. And it's hard. It must be hard, incredibly hard for me actors, because a lot of the people I've met and they've watched the show, they've said to me, can I speak to Steve? Or can I speak to John? Can I speak to Nancy? And I'm like, oh, yeah. So I you know, say, oh, Les, you know, can you come meet this person and introduce them? And, yeah, they kind of say to, if they've said to them before, like, oh, you know, you're male stage. And, like, it's just hard for them to take, I guess. Like, they're obviously so grateful that they've kind of met this person now and talking to them. And even just to get that sense of approval, I guess. Well, yeah, sometimes in the car, they're like, oh, can you stop doing that to me? Like, it's such a moment, which it obviously would be.
Yeah, and I think, you know, every time I watched a documentary about Hillsborough or read anything or seen interviews of people who was there, you know, talking about it, and, you know, there's no way you can't be affected about it, even if you never were there yourself, or even if you don't know anyone, you know, personally that way, I always get like emotional and very touched by it. And, you know, I think that's for every Liverpool supporter, really, if you want to know the club's history and what's been, you know, huge parts of its history as well when it comes to Hillsborough because of the disaster it was and the tragedy. So I think, you know, your play and what you have been telling us now as well, you know, it does touch people. And, you know, even though it's probably tough to watch, it sounds like it, I think it's also a very important lesson to learn for people and to educate, like you said as well, and also for maybe people to, I wouldn't say understand, I think people understand, but, you know, to, if you go through, like you said, even if it's tough, I think it kind of helps you to put perspective on things as well. Mm-hmm. You know, that people have been living through this for so long and been fighting for so long as well. And, you know, there's people we know who obviously is not with us anymore that was fighting for, you know, their relatives, and, you know, they put their whole life into that fight. And, you know, that's just honors them. And, you know, I pay my respect to them. And I think, you know, they are respected by everyone for what they've done. So yeah, I would like to watch this play, but, you know, I don't know when or if that will be possible. But if, is there anywhere you can buy tickets or pre-order tickets, or is it sold out, or what is going on from here now?
Yeah, tickets are still available. Yeah. So it's, all tickets are purchased through the Liverpool Olympia website. You can find my socials at Tom Kane Theatre. So that's C-A-I-N, Tom Kane Theatre. We post obviously regular updates on the show and rehearsal shots, promotional material. But yeah, all tickets are purchased through the Liverpool Olympia website. You'll find it on my link tree and in my bio on my Instagram, X, isn't it now, not Twitter, X, Facebook, even TikTok now, actually. I've got myself on that to promote the show. And yeah, there's, you know, it's a strange one because I've always wanted to debut the full play. That was always been my goal from the start. So although the journey has been amazing, you know, going back to my uni and kind of performing as a graduate there, you know, going to the Edinburgh Fringe, taking it to Buxton, Liverpool Theatre Festival, it's all been incredible. But to me, my main goal has been to debut the full play. So once that's happened, I'll be satisfied. But, you know, there's so much more to talk about what's next. And, you know, do we just leave it for a bit and I write some, well, the stuff I've wrote already from other projects to kind of promote them now? Do I go for them instead, or do we go for the schools edition tour? Do we tour around the UK with the full play? Do we tour around the UK with the short edition? There's so many different things, and to me they'll all be a bonus because it depends on circumstances. You know, everyone's got obviously the different lives and families, and so it's how logistically does that work. But yeah, all the updates will be for my work and for Night 7 Plus will be obviously on at Tom Kane Theatre on all socials. And yeah, it'd be great for you to see the play, and hope everyone takes something from it.
How long will it run for, like how many plays?
So this one's one night only for the 12th. That wasn't by choice, it was just the way things worked out, I guess. Looking for a venue. Olympia is a super venue, but I wanted to have it around the anniversary, you know, it'd be the 35th one now, isn't it, coming up. So I wanted to have it around the anniversary anyway. And then, yeah, Liverpool Olympia's got connections with Boss Knights, obviously, it was Jimmy Webster, it's now the new guy singing the songs, and, you know, Liverpool songs and Liverpool podcasts with Jimmy Webster and Paddy Pimblett, that's going on with Boss Knights. So Boss Knights performed multiple things at Liverpool Olympia before, so I thought it'd be great as well to, you know, it's near Anfield as well, it's a great venue, so that's why I wanted to put the show on there, even if it is just for the one night.
It sounds great, and I hope someday that I'll be able to watch it in, you know, some kind of way anyway. But, you know, I want to thank you for being a guest at Cup Eye Podcast. It's been very interesting to listen to your story and your journey and the play that you set up. And I'm sure, like I said, even though it might be tough to watch, I'm sure it's an important play for people to watch. And I'm, you know, really appreciate that you wanted to tell us, and hopefully it goes very well for you and for your other projects in the future as well.
Oh, thank you ever so much for having me on the show. It's been great. You know, I've done a few of these now, and kind of some of the questions in terms of, like, you know, your inspiration behind the play, some of them are like sets, some of them kind of like a little monologue of mine, but then you just get chatting, don't you, and you then come up with other things. And as we were talking, then obviously remember the other audience reactions and people what they've said, and it is nice to share that in this way as well, and obviously a supportive environment. So yeah, thank you so much for having me on, mate.
No worries, and that's what it's all about when it comes to, you know, these kind of shows. You just talk, and you know, it kind of, you know, as soon as you get it going, it kind of suits itself. You know, it just kind of rabbles on.
You get your recording, I think.
Yeah, but it's been very interesting. So thank you. And I hope all you that have been listening to this show really enjoyed it as well. And, you know, you who live in England or around Liverpool and get the chance to be able to go and watch the play on the 12th, then obviously you can go and visit. You had the link tree, did you say, at Tom Kane Theatre?
Yeah, so all socials at Tom Kane Theatre, so C-A-I-N Theatre, Tom Kane Theatre. And then all tickets are purchased through the Liverpool Olympia website, but the link is everywhere on the socials. It's plastered everywhere, along with multiple promotional material for you to find out more about the play, more about the cast and the characters. And yeah, go check it out.
Perfect. So thank you for your... you have been listening to the show, and we see you soon again.
I'm Jamie Carragher, and you are listening to the Cop-Eye Podcast. Podcast Network.